Welcome to the Heights Unedited podcast. That was, you kind of caught me off guard on that.
I love it how from the beginning we're just chatting and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, there's the thumbs up. So we got
to
go.
I got caught off guard, but here we go. Welcome to the Heights Unedited podcast, a podcast featuring real conversation about real life where we dig deeper into the weekend message as well as answering your questions on faith, culture, and life. Excited about today.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited because if you are watching right now, you can tell we have a guest in the house right here. Steve, welcome.
Hello. Thank you very much.
So glad that you are here with us. If you were here with us on the weekend, you know that we had an incredible message from Steve this weekend, and we're going to kind of dive into that in a second, in a few minutes. But and before this is, we get to that.
This is the first time, though, that you and I have been on with a guest.
First time.
I had sabbatical. Oh, wow. And so he had people in during sabbatical. He's been here for every episode.
Every episode. Right? Doesn't happen without
But me. We've never done this. So welcome. You're breaking ground for us.
Very honored.
Yeah, this is good. So no pressure or anything, but if this doesn't go well, I don't know. You know, we'll see. Man, we do want to thank our viewers and listeners. We have a 5-star review coming in. But
five-star.
I'm nervous.
Well, you don't ask for anything else, so 5-star is.
I know. We've only gotten 5 stars because we've only asked for 5 stars. But we've only gotten 5 stars. This one, though, I'm nervous
we
to share.
We don't want reality. So all the 4s and the 3s, well, probably more like 1s and 0s.
We just throw them out. We pretend they don't exist. That's what you do with difficult things in your life. Pretend like it doesn't exist. Just kidding.
It works well if you do that.
Okay, I'm nervous to share this one because of the medium on which it came in on. I don't want everyone to then start taking that as their thing that they're doing.
This is how they should do it. Okay, but how did it come to you?
Okay, here's what I got. I got a piece of paper with, if you're watching right now, you can see this. There's literally five stars.
They put
five gold stars on the top. It says this.
Those stars remind me of the, remember the, you showed up. I don't know. Maybe this was just in my world. You showed up to churches and you went to Sunday school. You got a gold star on your chart. Yeah. They look like those gold stars.
Yeah, yeah.
My parents did that for me when I was a kid. If I brushed my teeth, I got a gold star on my chart.
And you're such a competitor. You probably thrive.
Oh, I got all the gold stars.
You
was
got
like,
good looking teeth.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. It's because of those gold stars. All right, here's what this 5-star review says right here. Todd and John, grateful for the unedited podcast. I'm encouraged each week through your authenticity, vulnerability, and wisdom from God's word as you talk through the weekend message and answer questions on faith, culture, and real life. Grateful for how the Lord is moving in our church family. That's from our friend Kathy.
That's so special.
So thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
So much for that. As
Kathy's allowed to do it on paper.
That's the only one that's allowed to. Yeah, can we make that clear?
For sure.
No more are allowed to do it.
Dory, you're not allowed.
There we go. It's coming in. We know. Calling it out.
Hey, I got Simon to smile. There we go.
That's good. Okay. So Steve, we got to let you know there's something we do on this podcast. It found us. We did not mean for this to happen, but we are officially sponsored by Oreo, and we are official Oreo tasters.
That's not true.
Official Oreo tasters.
We're not kind enough to Oreo, my wife pointed out, for them to sponsor us.
Yeah, they wouldn't like, we are the worst. When we taste them, the only descriptor we have is crunchy. Like, that's pretty much all we say. So, but I did make a chart for us. So if you are on YouTube right now, you can see it. If you're listening, I will describe to you. There's a chart right now where we have ranked our Oreos in what we've tasted.
What I
want to
know is that your handiwork? Is that your graphic design?
This is all I got, man. This is why I preach and lead. I don't make graphics because this
it
is all
like
I got.
Looks like the clip art from like whatever that was, early 2000s.
As good as it gets for me. Okay, but in the number one spot, if you're wondering what the rankings are of the Oreos, which everyone is wondering right now. So I don't know why I said
everyone is wondering.
They are.
Wow. But that's everyone. A lot of people. Yeah. That's a lot of people, Steve.
Out of the 7 that we have tasted thus far, John and I spent hours in deliberation collaborating on what the order would be. And this is what
we're
going
to have to fact check this episode
for the people. Post Malone's coming at number 1.
Yeah, Posty. And that's, I mean, Posty wins every time.
It's just so good. So good.
So good. You get, if you ever have the opportunity to get a Post Malone Oreo,
those are good. Huh?
I highly recommend
those,
it.
Are good
it's,
ones.
It's worth it. All it's right. worth the calories for
the,
sure.
The second on our list would be the Toffee Crunch Oreo.
Also good.
Those were very good. Not quite Posty level, that, yeah. but they come in as a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Third, we had some deliberation here because peanut butter isn't necessarily your favorite. However,
right.
It
was trying to be a Reese's is what it was trying
remaining,
to be.
With the remaining, we did go in the third spot was the peanut butter Oreos, and they were good for what they were. Then we snuck in an apple pie after that.
Which actually tasted like apple pie.
It tasted like an apple pie.
How do you do that?
Amazing. I don't know how they did it. Yes. Next was when the Reese's and Oreo came together and had a baby, and it was this one. And it was this is why the peanut butter was in the third spot and the Reese's Oreo was in the fifth is because... it was kind of recreating what they already did.
Because it's Reese's.
It wasn't quite as good. Mm-hmm. You're a hater on Reese's. I don't know why. In the sixth spot, we had the Selena Gomez Oreos. Those were not very good.
Selena Gomez.
In my opinion.
I can't believe she put her name to something that's not good.
Yeah.
That's very unlike her brand.
It was rough. And then coming in the seventh spot, which I'm not.
Should never have been. Let's just be honest.
It should never
not
have been
created.
Should not have been created.
Was should not
blueberry
have been
pie Oreos. The filling looked like Play-Doh.
And it tasted a little bit like Play-Doh.
Tasted like Play-Doh and blueberries. It was pretty bad. So.
Yeah. I can't say I've ever tried that. Yeah.
That's why Oreo doesn't sponsor this.
We can ask my
exactly. Yeah. Right? Exactly. Yeah. Because if we had our way, they'd only have Posties. So.
Okay, but we do have another one that we're tasting today.
All right.
Okay, and so
sorry for what you're about to experience, Steve.
Well, actually, Steve gave me some insight on this. So here's what we're about to taste is the Coca-Cola Oreos.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola Oreos. What? Steve, tell me what you told me before the show started.
Yeah, so I collect Coke cans, and Coke did a Oreo-flavored Coke, and then Oreos did a Coke-flavored.
What?
And so I've been looking for the Coke can, because I collect Coke cans.
Yeah.
And I've been looking for the Oreo Coke can.
No way.
And they discontinued it very quickly, so I suspect it was horrible. So I'm curious as to
so this is as close
Oreos.
As you're getting to an Oreo.
As close as I'm getting.
Did you ever
so
try that?
No,
you never got
but
to
it,
try
they discontinued it very, very quickly.
Okay.
Wow, it's two colors.
It smells like a Coke.
Oh my
just
goodness.
give it a little whiff and tell me what you get.
Yeah, it's Coke.
It's Coke
it's
for
a Coke
sure.
product. I'm not a Coke drinker,
it is definitely
but
Coke. It's a Coke it even product. You got a bubbly feeling in your nose.
All right,
little
go ahead,
carbonation.
Go ahead and grab yourself one
little
here.
Carbonation so for the
can,
old.
Can get a little taste test.
Okay, I do like the colors.
Yeah,
Coke did well, and it's stamped with Coke.
So we got Coke on one side, we got Oreo on the other.
Oh wow!
So the presentation
now
is
I'm curious.
Good.
Hang on a second. I'm curious.
Okay, what do you? Wow, you smelling all of it.
Okay, so I was curious if it was just the Coke cookie that was carrying the scent, or if it's the frosting cream in the middle. I can't tell. It's too blended.
All right, here we go. You guys go ahead and take your first taste. I want to get some first impression here.
Well, he's the Coke master. I think, feel like,
but he also told me he doesn't actually like Coke. He just likes connect. He just likes collecting the cans.
I like the cans.
So good. My daughter wants a Star Wars Coke can right now.
Okay, I'm so interested to see what this is going to taste like. They're not giving me anything on the facial expressions to tell me what it is, though.
It's quite crunchy.
Okay, there we go. You know, you had to throw that in there. So on the crunch barometer, we're up there pretty high. Where
the
are we
Coke
at on
is mild. The
yeah,
Coke is
I don't
very
know.
Mild.
Okay.
Yeah, the Coke is.
All right,
the
I'm going to taste it.
Of it is.
I'm going to taste it.
Feels a lot more like Coke than the actual.
If you were blindfolded, I think it just tastes like an Oreo.
Mm. That's
but
a good point.
You can smell it. Yeah, you can smell the Coke.
Very interesting.
Mm.
They definitely.
I had a second bite, but it's just a. It's a hint of Coke.
Yeah.
It's in the background.
Yeah, so I would say the Coke is definitely more on the scent than the flavor.
Mm.
But there's an aftertaste of the Coke to it.
There is.
Which so when I drink a Coke, I haven't drank a Coke for a while. There's an aftertaste with Coke too.
So I would say they actually did exactly what they promised on this. They delivered. I don't know.
I would eat them. Yeah.
They're not. Yeah. They're not bad. I don't know where they fall on our chart yet. I got to think about it, but
presentation's a win.
Yeah, I would say they're, I like the red, they're at least above the bottom two right now on our our chart.
I mean, it's above Reese's. Come on.
It might be above Reese's. I don't know.
Oh, no. I'm a Reese's fan.
You're a Reese's fan?
But I haven't tried the Reese's Oreo, so I would probably.
You guys are both Reese's fans.
Yeah, I'm a big Reese's fan, too.
Yeah.
The peanut butter Oreos, I think, are better than just the Reese's Oreos. But, wow.
Okay. Yeah, I would say I didn't hate it. I don't know that I buy it. It's kind of in that mid level. 6-7, you know, right.
Oh, wow, there you go. For the kids.
For the kids.
Throwing it in there. I love it. Okay, well, Steve, now that you've hung out through that, I mean,
you made it through that. You made it through Everybody that. Else made it through that.
Our viewers and listeners, you know,
we're
made
here
it
now.
Through. I would love to know the analytics on how many people drop off after like
after the Oreo product.
They're like, this is, I can't stick around past this. Or the other way, how many of them just skip the first 10 minutes because they know we're going to do something
like
this. Well,
we know Rachel doesn't, so at least we got one.
That's true. We got one who only cares about this first part, but we do have some more important things to discuss. Mainly, we have a guest from Cambodia with us. Steve, tell us a little bit about what you do. You know, we heard about it on the weekend, but for any of our viewers and listeners who maybe haven't heard that yet, first of all, I would encourage all of them to go back and listen to that message from this weekend. But just tell us.
The message was amazing.
Message was absolutely incredible.
Can we start a step further back? Where's Cambodia?
Yeah, that's
a good. There we go. Let's start there.
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, that's good. So the reason why that's good is I find so many people in America have no idea where Cambodia is. Yeah. And they'll be like, isn't that where there's a drug problem? And it's like, no, that's Colombia. And they speak Spanish. Yeah. And that's in South America. Cambodia
is a little
bit
different.
Yeah, very different. Cambodia is in Asia. So we're wedged. We're what they call Southeast Asia. South of China by several thousand miles, but we're south of China and we're wedged in between Vietnam and Thailand.
Wow.
So, and it's a nation, I would say, you know, about the size of maybe the state of Arizona.
Okay.
We have about 17 million people there, but it's an Asian country. It's an Asian country.
What's the greatest influence from those countries? So you got China, Thailand, Vietnam. Yeah. Is China the heaviest influence or is it Thailand?
Right now, China has a lot of influence. So interestingly, the United States is only like 250 years old. Yeah. Cambodia is around 2,000 years
old. Oh my goodness.
They've had kings on their thrones for almost 2,000 years. They can trace it back to 60 AD.
Wow.
So we have cities and we have buildings that exist today that are 1,500 years old, 1,700 years old.
Well, you referenced one that was 1,000.
Yeah. We have carvings from 1,000 years ago, and it's kind of like photographs of what things looked like 1,000 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
That's incredible to see. Yeah. I mean, we think of history
Happy
in the
birthday,
U.S.
America.
Yeah. We think of history in the U.S. as like, man, I saw, you know, something old. It's like, no, you didn't see anything old. There's some old stuff going on. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So that's where Cambodia is. You shared this weekend how you were called to Cambodia and all of that. Just let us know, like, what does a day-to-day for you look like? Like, a day in the life of Steve in Cambodia. Yeah. What does it look like? What things are you working on? What are you doing in Cambodia?
So I'll start off by saying, like, what do I do? And so the short answer is I'm a missionary. But when you say I'm a missionary, it's really confusing because some people think that as a missionary, you just go door to door and you knock on people's doors and you say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. That's not really what I do at all. Mm-hmm. So
Have you ever done that in Cambodia?
No, probably not.
I can't see that.
I find that offensive to just walk up to somebody's house and knock on their door and say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, if that's your thing, okay, God bless you. Yeah. I've had a shotgun pointed at me. Trying that one time.
Yeah. So
wow.
That's why I don't feel like that's
the it's best not thing your to calling.
Yeah, yeah. It's not my calling yet. But so my education is in computer science and anthropology. So the study of people. And then I have some education also in theology or the study of the Bible and I study the Bible a lot.
That's a great mix.
Yes. Yeah. But you know, I've done things like I help putting together computer systems for Cambodia, and I helped coach basketball in Cambodia. I build things. So I've kind of become like my own little architect and construction company. I've designed sewer systems for cities. But everything I do is not for the purpose of making money. It's for the purpose of helping the community, working with the community. And then really, my overall goal is to glorify God, but I want people to know that I serve Jesus, the living Savior, and I want them to know that Jesus loves them too. Whether I'm doing a sewer or coaching basketball or developing computer softwares to help them in, you know, typing their language into the computer.
Yeah, you referenced that you have been there 32 years.
Yeah.
So with that approach, and I feel like I might know the answer to this, but I'm just curious, what has been the impact? So you build a sewer system for a city.
Yeah.
What has been the impact of that as a platform for the ministry that and the things that you've been able to create, like orphanages and different things like that? Like how have the coaching, the basketball, the building sewer system, how have those things kind of opened doors, propelled forward? What does that look like?
Yeah, that's I hope I don't answer too long here, but
no, you're
so
fine.
For example, I had already been in Cambodia about 17 years at this point, and it was a governor who wanted to celebrate Christmas, and he said, I want to honor all the foreigners who have been in Cambodia. Cambodia is mostly a Buddhist country, so they don't know much about Christianity or anything, but they knew that Christmas was a Christian holiday. And so this governor said, I want to help these foreigners celebrate because they've been working in Cambodia and they've been doing things to help us. But I don't know anything about their culture. So he contacted a local Cambodian Christian. He said, I know you're a Cambodian, so you don't know anything about real Christianity. I need somebody that's a foreigner to tell me about Christianity. And so this governor got my phone number and called me and said, will you help me celebrate Christmas? And
so good.
And so I helped him to celebrate Christmas, and he had no idea. Like I go up, so they decide he's going to hold a big banquet to celebrate Christmas. And so he just like Googled Christmas, I think, and and somehow, so he found a inflatable, inflatable snowman.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of bounces around, and that was on the stage. You know, like it's inflatable good. Snowman, and I was just like, it's not really what Christmas is about. You know? So it gave me a point of counting. But he said to me, would you help me to help the people of my province?
Wow.
And he said, one way that you can help me is help the poor people, poor children. And the second way is, could you help me? Like, we have a huge sewer problem. Every time it rains, everybody's sewers like flow into the street. Mm-hmm. And I went by some schools after it rained. And the students were sitting on the desk and their feet were in literally raw sewage.
Wow.
And I felt like if Jesus was here, he wouldn't say, no, I only preach.
Yeah.
Because I'm a missionary. But Jesus would have said, I'll help you fix the sewers. And so I don't know anything about water engineering or sewers or anything like that. But I just figure water needs to go downhill. Sewage needs to go downhill. So we created a plan to build a sewer system for the city, and we just made everything go downhill. So even to this day, it's not treated, but the city doesn't flood. And it's a city now of 250,000 people.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. And so incredible. That gives me access. So, so that gives me access. Like when the government, they don't see me as a threat. They see me as a partner. They see me as somebody who loves them. And to the point of about 6 years ago now, the Cambodian government wanted to honor me. And so they gave me citizenship. So I'm now a citizen of Cambodia as well. And I carry a Cambodian passport.
That's incredible.
And a Cambodian ID card. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I love that. And this connects to a bigger conversation, even within the Heights family, but that it started in you just doing what you do and relationally being connected, that when somebody goes, hey, do you know how we can celebrate Christmas? Well, let me connect you to this guy, yeah. right? And that, so there's years of relationship that now puts you with a governor that goes, hey, can you also help us with like sewers and, yeah. And kids that are in poverty? And yeah. I just think it's such a natural, when we live on mission, because we've been talking about this, right? Like when we live on mission, I think there's such a natural, we just do what God's put in front of us and be faithful in how he uses it and where that goes through the relationships created.
Yeah.
And so let me add, I'm sorry to interrupt, but let me add one more point. You know, how did a sewer system impact the kingdom of God? Because I said that was my goal. Well, when we were actually building the sewer system, we actually were digging, like we had an excavator and it would dig along the road. And fortunately, because it was a fairly new city, we didn't have a lot of underground stuff. I know in the United States, there's all kinds of cables and everything else under the ground. There wasn't anything down there except landmines. So we hit probably 3 or 4 landmines, unexploded, mortars and rockets.
Wow.
Which could have killed people.
Yeah.
You know, but then one day I remember we were working on this road. It was called Road Number 16. So we were working on this road and building this sewer system. And this guy came out and he said, thank you so much for helping me. He said, this is going to save lives. And I was like, it's a sewer system. It smells bad, but I don't know how it's going to save lives. And he said that his son, like 6 months previously, was playing alongside the road, and he was like 3 or 4 months old. And because there was no sewer system or anything like that, the people had dug like trenches and stuff to try and get the sewage away and that kind of stuff. And his son was just playing along the little dirt road, and his son slipped into the sewer and drowned. He drowned in the sewer.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, by you putting in a proper sewer, you're going to save people's lives. And he said, are you making money on this? And I said, no, I'm not making any money. I said, we just work with the government and we work with the people who have properties along there. And we just figure out, like, if it costs us $400 to build in front of their property, we charge $400 and we just do it. I don't make any money on it. And I'm standing here. I have no salary. And he said, that's very unusual. Why do you do that? Mm-hmm. I said, it's because I'm a follower of Jesus. And he then came to faith in Jesus Christ. So not only did I save he lost his son, unfortunately, but probably saved other children from falling into an open sewer. But he also came to faith in Jesus Christ as well.
So good.
Wow. That's incredible. And that's just what you were saying, life on mission. Right? Yeah. When the mission goes first, there's opportunities that open. How do you know which opportunity to take? I mean, you sound, building sewers, basketball coach, all these different opportunities, all these different things in front of you. Like, how do you know what God is leading to you to next? And, even to answer, I think the original question was like, what does a day-to-day look? And you're like, they're all different, you know, because it's on mission that is the main thing.
Yeah.
But like, how do you know where God's leading you and what to get involved with and what not to get involved with?
Yeah. So the short answer is when I was younger, I didn't understand this, but when we talk about we serve a God of Trinity, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I was younger, the God the Father was some distant Old Testament, angry dad somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? And then Jesus was the Savior of the world who died on the cross, and then he went to heaven. And the Holy Spirit, I don't know.
Yeah. You know,
he did weird things in the book of Acts, and that was about it.
Yeah.
You sound like many people I grew up with.
Yes.
And the Baptist side of the side of the world.
That was my understanding as well as a kid. Yeah.
Well, and then you hear people all the time. They're like, if you want to know what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, read the Bible. And so, I mentioned the other night when God called me to Cambodia, I was in a Baptist seminary. Mm-hmm. And when God called me to Cambodia, and I was like, the word Cambodia is not in the Bible. Like,
how am I going to get a confirmation on this?
How could I get a confirmation from God's word? Because the word Cambodia is not in the Bible, you know? Is there some kind of Hebrew acrostic that's going to come out? And I had to discover that God, in Hebrews, it says that that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that the God of the Bible is the same God of today. And he's still speaking today, but we're not listening.
Yeah.
We're not listening. And all we have to do is stop and listen. So I've learned how it used to be hard for me to listen, and now it's easy for me to listen. And so I just know when God's speaking to me.
So how did you develop that?
So it wasn't through careful, systematic study of God's word. Although every single morning, including this morning, I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning, not legalistically, but because of jet lag, I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And I read Isaiah chapter 44, 45, 46 this morning. Yeah. And God spoke to me through that.
Yeah.
But he also spoke to me about what I was going to do today. He was speaking to me about what I get when I do, when I head back to Cambodia in a couple of days. He was speaking to me about that. And I just live my life trying to listen to my heart, not my heart, but God speaking to my heart.
Yeah. Right.
So I can say, all right, Holy Spirit, where are you working? I want to join you there. And what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
So how does, like, in your everyday life, you know, you have these big projects and these things going on, but like, what does the sensitivity to the Spirit speaking to you in the moment look like? You know, I've heard stories from our team that was with you that they got to witness that firsthand of, as they were with you. You're driving along and all of a sudden you see people and go, hey, we got to do something. Yeah. And you end up doing it. What does that look like in the moment to hear the Spirit? And how does that, like, what are some examples of times you've listened?
So I can tell you exactly what that one was. And I'll tell you about one that happened just the other day too. So that wasn't that long ago. But I was driving along, and there were two children sitting alongside the road. That's pretty normal in Cambodia. It's a little dirt road, and you see people sitting alongside the road. And I slowed down so I wouldn't hit them, because they were pretty close to the road, and it looked like they were carrying like some lotus flowers or something like that. And I just saw them out of the corner of my eye, and I was chatting with some of the team that were there from Heights Church. And so I was just chatting with them, and I pulled past them. I think I went 50 yards past him or something, and I stopped. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was saying, there's something about those two kids. Go back. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped.
Let's go.
I had a place to go, and there were actually two vehicles, and I was not the lead vehicle. I was the vehicle behind. So the people in front of me were going, we were going to go have lunch. And it was about a 30-minute drive to where we were going to go have lunch. And the lead vehicle went on to lunch. They went on the exact same road that I went on, but the Holy Spirit told me to stop, so I stopped. And so I just messed up the entire schedule.
Yeah.
And then I went back.
If the Holy Spirit could be considerate of our schedule, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Which, side note, just for our church family, Jesus was interruptible.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's, and actually, if you read the Bible, you look at, it was when Jesus was interrupted that he showed up. That his power showed up.
It's when the kingdom of heaven came near. Yeah.
You know, when he was preaching to the 5,000, you know, and there were people everywhere. We don't know what he preached about.
Yeah.
It's never even mentioned. But we all know about the miracle, how he fed 5,000 people.
Right.
And that was because his disciples came up to him and was like, Jesus, you better stop. We have no food for these people.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it was Jesus showing up in the interruptions. You know, I was thinking of just right now, just like, I think it was Jairus and his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Jesus was speaking. We don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
He was doing miracles, all kind of stuff.
Yep.
And then Jairus came up and said, you know, my daughter's sick. She's dying. And he's like, oh, that's okay. And Jesus stepped aside and did an incredible miracle.
Yeah. And on the way to heal her, stopped and dealt with a woman who had been suffering for 12 years. And he had a place to go. I mean, it was time sensitive in the place he had to go to.
Absolutely.
And he's like, no, I'm going to. Stop with you.
Yeah. So I backed up, and I'm also a scoutmaster for Boy Scouts. So I'm a scoutmaster, which is now Scouting America. So there's girls involved in scouting now too. But and so there's two kids on the side of the road. So I'm thinking child protection policy. We need to be careful how we interact with children and that kind of stuff. So I said to the kids, I said, what are you doing here? And they said, oh, we're trying to sell these lotus flowers because we have nothing to eat. And my heart was like exploded.
Yeah.
And I knew that was the Holy Spirit. You can help these kids. Here I was going to lunch.
Yeah.
And these kids don't have anything to eat.
Yeah.
And I said, let me help you. I will not only buy your lotus flowers, even though I don't want your lotus flowers. let's go to a place where I want to get you some food so that you have food to eat, not just for today, but for the next few days. And so I said to the kids, I said, we're on the edge of a village, but we're not like in a market. We're not in a public place. So I was like, I don't really want to put them in my vehicle, even though right. I had four adults with me. So I said, how about you go to a place and I'll follow you from a distance. And so they went on their little bicycle, little broken bicycle. It was like a little BMX bike, mm-hmm. but they went on their little bicycle and they stopped at a shop. And so I stopped in there and I said to the shop owner, I want to buy whatever they want. So I told the kids, just pick what you want and I'll buy it all. And so then I talked to the shop owner. And I said, you know them. And they said, oh yes, we know them. They're in a very, very poor family. There's a grandmother that's trying to take care of them, but can't take care of them. Mm. And so they just go out and beg for food. And I said, well, they weren't begging to me. They were asking to sell little lotus flowers. And then they were going to use the money to buy food, but I would just like to buy them whatever they need. And I start pointing stuff out because they're looking at candy and chocolate right. and that kind of stuff because they're like 7 or 8 years old.
Right?
Yeah. And I was like, you need vegetables and you need rice and you need meat. And, so I'm buying that kind of stuff. And then I said, do you know where they live? And they say, yeah. I said, the store owner said, I need to watch my store, but my teenage son could take you. And so they knew the teenage son also. So now there's more of us. And so we headed to where they live. And we got to where they live, and they literally are in a shack. Mm-hmm. It's just a shack made out of tin. I'm sure people
shack, is that like a backyard shed?
Yeah, but like you wouldn't put your lawnmower in it,
okay?
Because it was so run down. Like you wouldn't put your lawnmower would fall apart just because. Right. Like in Cambodia, we get rain, like rain.
Yeah.
We had about 30 inches of rain this month, which is probably about 5 years worth of rain in Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to say 30, right?
I don't know that Arizona's ever had 30 inches.
Right. Yeah, we got hit with 3 typhoons hurricanes, this last month. So, and there's no electricity. The grandmother was 87 years old and blind.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew that's why we were there.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart. And so we just tried to do whatever we could do to help them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one more story.
Before you tell that story, or maybe tell that story and I'll hold the question.
So with the children, I offered to the grandmother, I said, I have a children's home. And I said, I will not only take these children and I can promise, I have my own Christian school and everything. I will give them a place to stay and I will give them a good education and I'll give them a good future. But I said to the grandmother, you can come too, because it's way better than this shack with no electricity and no water. It's way better. And you'll have 3 meals a day. You'll have a private space to stay in. You can be with your grandkids. So the kids' parents, one had ran away and so was gone. And then the mother who was taking care of them had passed away. Mm-hmm. So there was nobody except this 87-year-old blind grandmother to take care of them. But I said, we'll take all of you. We'll take all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. So did they end up going?
So they decided not to go. And I think it's because the grandmother, unfortunately, who's blind, was, this is her livelihood and this is how she feels love.
Yeah.
Is by trying to take care of these 3 kids who are, or these 2, that turned out there was one more at the house. So there was 3 of them.
Okay.
And she just couldn't imagine anything different.
Yeah.
So we're still in talks
with
them. And the community leaders have said, they said, if she won't go, we have others who are in need. Could you take them too? And I said, absolutely.
Wow.
If it's a legitimate need, I am there to help people in need and to change their lives. So that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that was part of my question is, with so much need and you're face to face with it on a regular basis, right? Like you exist inside of it.
Yeah.
How do you not lose yourself?
Oh my goodness.
Inside of
part of that story is the grandmother said no. And it broke my heart because I know that I can change all their lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can change the trajectory of these kids' life forever.
Yeah.
And that grandmother forever. She can live out the rest of the days of her life in dignity and health and,
yeah,
you know, and not in a an abandoned shack at the end of a, you know, yeah, edge of a rice field. And it just broke my heart. I cried for hours. Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. But I can't help everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you can only help those that are. So there's a saying that's always wrong, but in Hollywood movies especially, and especially in the older movies, they'll say, well, the Bible said God helps those who helps themselves. And we joke about that as people have studied the Bible because it's not there.
It's not there.
It's not in the Bible. Yeah. But I think there's something to that. And I think it was, yeah, you know, I think of John Wayne saying that God helps those who helps themselves, you know. But I think there's something to that. You can offer to help somebody, but if they're not willing to help themselves as well,
yeah,
and join in partnership with that, there's really nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we
which try, is so frustrating.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I struggle with that when, yeah, somebody comes and they're clearly struggling.
Yeah.
And you know that, yeah, that okay, if you will be willing to take, yeah, these steps,
yeah, just
your
a few life, steps,
your life's going to change.
It's absolutely going to change.
And, yeah, they're like, no thanks.
Yeah.
And then they're back, right, in our context, they're back.
Right.
5 years later going, oh, it turned out so bad. And, yeah, and, yeah, you know, yeah, and then they're in this similar situation. Right. You go, okay, well, here are the,
yeah,
yeah, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could listen to stories all day and, yeah, we'll continue to hear some of those stories,
so
but
good.
let's dive into the weekend and just kind of, yeah, recap that. Like Pastor John had just said, man, just incredible message. Thank you so much, yeah, for that. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to, analyzing speakers and, yeah, you know, I love the craft of presenting and speaking. And I texted John while you were on stage and I was like, I mean, he is conference level 10,000 people in the audience speaker. Yeah. And it was just unbelievable how good it was and impactful.
I'm a missionary who makes sewers. Yeah.
And my favorite was your back and forth.
Yeah.
It's just
like,
so good.
Like, yeah, there's a couple of services where the back and forth was just so, it was just so fun.
Yeah.
And yet,
yeah,
it was so profound at the same, yeah, time.
Very, which was, very well done, yeah, and very powerful message. Idea of living by faith, yeah, right? Stepping out, stepping over the chicken line, yeah, is what you talked about. Yeah. Stepping out in faith, which is really, really difficult. And one of the things you shared in your story is just the journey to Cambodia, yeah, and then the first 2 years in Cambodia. Yeah. You know, stepping out in faith is one thing, but when you don't see anything,
right,
it's pretty easy to go, okay, well, then maybe I made the wrong decision or, yeah, whatever. So, you know, how hard was faith for you when you didn't see any fruit over those first 2 years?
Yeah. And I would say, so life in Cambodia is not easy. It's even though I've been there more than 30 years now, every day is still pretty difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And but going there and saying, I'm going to give up my dreams, my aspirations of, you know, yeah, being a successful computer programmer, working for the government or working for NASA, and, you know, giving up my dreams of that, playing in the NBA or something like yeah, that, you know. Giving up that for the sake of Jesus, and then nobody comes to faith in, right, Christ. It's like, God, yeah, I've done this so much.
And how old were you when you went?
I was 21 years old. Yeah, I was 21 that, years.
Okay, so 21, you are, yeah, packed with,
yeah,
dreams. You are packed, yeah, with, yeah, scenes of grandeur.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You, yeah, you're ready to sleep
take
on
the world. I'm ready to take on the world.
How did you, yeah, keep going, and how did you have faith? Because that was, yeah, the conversation that I had with multiple people after the service, yeah, this weekend. They're like, hey, I would have given up. And I'm like,
yeah,
hey, I would have given up two, yeah, months in, not
so
2 years
I
in.
I kept praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know you've called me here. And I said, I don't want to be, so this selfish prayer. I said, I don't want to be like, so for example, Adoniram Judson, who went to Burma or Myanmar 200 years ago, and he was one of the first Baptist missionaries, so that's why I know him. But he went, and in 7 years, nobody came to faith in Christ. Right. But then, yeah, finally one person came to faith in Christ, and then he lived out the rest of his days. A few more people came to Christ. He was imprisoned. He was tortured. His wife died. He got on a boat to come back to America and died.
Hmm.
That's it.
Wow.
He never saw entire people groups changed by the gospel that he shared. And to this day, 200 years later, he translated the Bible into the Burmese language. That's still the Bible they use today. Wow. And they talk, they have statues to him.
Wow.
And all over Myanmar and Burma, they have statues to him, honoring him as the one who brought the gospel to the people of that country. But he never saw it. Yeah. So I was like, Lord, I don't want to. I don't want to be 200 years from now.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I've got a really short attention span. I want to see it happen now. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see you change Cambodia in my lifetime right now. And when I learned to follow him day by day, in no matter what he said, to stop for two little kids on the road, to stop for, you know, whatever he calls me to at that moment. God uses those people to change Cambodia, and I have seen Cambodia change before my eyes. It is not the country I went to 32 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that call is so strong. And I think for our church family, especially as you get it, as we continue the conversations around kingdom mission, there's so many times where I know in my own life, you know, people go, well, why are you still at Heights, right? Like after everything that's happened, I was called here.
Yeah.
And I asked the Lord to remove it and he didn't.
Yeah.
And so you're faithful to where he's put you. And so,
when God called me to Cambodia, he said, go to Cambodia. And he didn't tell me exactly what to do there. He's told me every day what to do there.
Yeah.
And which now is, we have Christian schools, we have a campground, we have two orphanages, we care for abused and children. We have a center for empowering women. And trying to help women who are in a crisis pregnancy, to help them to find a solution to keep their babies, so that baby can experience the life that God intends for them. And all this has happened
so good.
Day by day by day by so day good, by right. day. And
well, it's faithfulness over 32 years, right?
And
it's
God has to what's if God in front. Called me, like if I heard the voice of God today and said, "Now it's time for you to go back to Iowa, where you were born, and take the gospel across to Iowa," I would do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go unless he says to.
Yeah.
So I feel like God has given me as my inheritance, the nation of Cambodia. Not to occupy it, but to see God move over the nation of Cambodia.
Well, you've seen both, right? So you started in the first 2 years, you didn't see anything.
Yeah.
And then since then, last 30 years, you've seen God do incredible things, literally change an entire country.
Yeah.
And I think that God's faithfulness helps us have more faith, because when we see what God's done, we go, man, if God did that, I know what he can do, and I know he will do it again.
Yeah.
And so it helps. But what advice would you give to maybe somebody who's new to trusting God, or maybe who hasn't had those past experiences of God coming through in major ways?
Yeah.
Like, what advice would you give to them to step out in faith and to continue to trust God?
Yeah. Well, the danger of listening to somebody like me, and I realize this as I'm sharing stories and that kind of stuff, most people can't relate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've never been in a battle, like a physical battle where two armies are fighting against each other and I'm in the middle. And they've never had to put trust in God in a way that that bullet could kill me right now, or that I could step on a landmine. One time I almost stepped on a cluster bomb, and that would have been game over right there. So most people can't relate to that. So they're, you know, what not to do is to say, okay, God, if you call me to Cambodia or, you know, Russia or something like that, I'll go. I think God's going to call you to Dollar Tree first, you know, or call you to, you know, Walmart, you know, and to meet somebody in the parking lot of Walmart that you're going to make a difference in, you know. And if you're faithful in the small things, God will continue to lead you. And your journey won't be like my journey.
Right.
And you shouldn't want your journey to be like my journey. In fact, I tell you, you don't want my life. It's like every day is not easy. I've been there 32 years and not one day is easy. But it's what I know God has called me to. And so I'm fulfilled and I'm empowered to do that.
Right.
So I would say, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Jesus, when the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what speak to me and help me to be receptive. And then whatever it is, do it.
Yeah.
Just do
get
it.
Get over that chicken line.
Yeah, get over that chicken line. Cross that chicken line. And even to this day, like when I'm going to lunch and I've got people from the Heist Church with me, I'm in the second vehicle. There's another vehicle ahead of me stopping. That was a chicken line also.
Yeah.
Because it's not according to what I've planned. It's if I get behind, the lead driver might scold me and say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You know, now you've messed up the whole schedule for the day, you know. But I knew God had a thing to do. And then when I went and helped the people, it would have been so much more amazing to be able to tell you. And then the whole family came to Christ, and I brought them into the home, and they just graduated from college. And, and you know, they've got seven kids, and God has blessed them. And we just bought them a new car, but they're still in a hut with a blind 87-year-old grandma who can't really take care of them.
Yeah.
And I'm still praying. I think God had a bigger reason to help them, but we just do it. We just do what God wants us to do. And my faith grows.
Yeah.
My faith grows.
Yeah.
And their faith will grow if they're obedient in the small things.
That's so good.
And I think as you were talking, what came to mind was when God called you to Cambodia, you were already moving. Mm-hmm. That wasn't your first move, right? Like you've been faithful to the call to go to seminary. You've been faithful to what he put in front. And I think that's a key part. We want the Cambodia moment, but we're a parked car over here.
Yeah.
Right. Like we might be even be in reverse.
Yeah.
And so I think just that idea of the Dollar Tree faith, right? Or the Walmart faith or whatever it happens to be your job today, faith, to be faithful to the people that God's put in your life and begin asking, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do in that space? That's the place where it doesn't, the Cambodia moment, right? Like everybody goes, oh, wow, you know, but it started way back here. Yeah. And I think that's the piece that.
I can add a little bit to that as well. I train other people in Cambodia to do things like I do and how to listen to the Lord and that kind of stuff. And so one of my things, I train people how to share the gospel and to evangelize and that kind of stuff. And so now I teach them, this is not what I learned in seminary, but now I teach them, pray and ask the Lord, where do you want me to go?
Yeah.
And then when he tells you where to go, you do it. And so sometimes you say, okay, I'm going to go to this island or I'm going to go to this next community and I'm going to go share the gospel. So after lunch, I'm going to head out. And then you have your lunch or whatever, and then it starts to rain. And then you have a choice. Do I go or not? Mm-hmm. How many people as a pastor, you'd know this, when it rains, well, maybe in Arizona, you don't know this, but if it rains somewhere else,
snow here,
half the church doesn't show up to church to worship because it rained.
Yeah.
And so I have a policy with my young students and that kind of stuff. If it rains, we get wet.
Yeah.
If it's muddy, we get muddy. If it's dry and dusty, we go no matter what it's like.
It's good.
Even if you get soaking wet, because obedience is the thing we need to do. So the Holy Spirit bothered to tell you, you know what? The Holy Spirit knew it was going to rain. God knew. Mm. God Almighty, who created everything on earth, knew it was going to rain. In fact, he made it rain.
Yeah.
But that's when he wants you to go. So he wants immediate obedience from it. You know, not, okay, God, I feel you calling me into serving you. So as soon as I finish my degree, as soon as I, you know, get a job and I, you know, I bank a certain amount of money, as soon as I have a Roth IRA built up to a certain level, then I'll serve you, Lord. Never happens.
Yeah.
It never happens.
Yeah. So good. Well, incredible weekend. One of the follow-up questions that we had from the weekend, Monica asked this. We had other global partners join us this weekend, and specifically, John, I'll let you answer this one. The question that Monica asks is, how or where can I drop off blankets for the refugees? This is specifically for our global partner in Jordan that is taking on refugees.
Jamel and Suzanne were here this weekend, and they... Again, amazing what God is doing and how he's using them. He told me a story of 400 people that are in this camp that didn't have food.
Yeah.
And his response was, well, I'm going to commit to getting you food, and has no clue how that's going to happen or whatever. And of course, God's way out ahead with that. But just again, amazing partners of Heights, and just seeing what God is doing. It's been such a gift. And so one of the things they're doing is blankets this year.
Yeah.
He always has, what I love about Jamel is there's always a touch point of love and action. And it's been fans other years. It's been heaters. It's been, you know, whatever context he's working with at the time. And this time it's, and it got me, he didn't say it in every service, but it got me when he was talking about the tents in the desert and the winter feeling like Arizona when the wind comes. Like I used to work outside or even coaching outside in Prescott Valley. When the wind whips through Prescott Valley, we were on this ridge, used to work building houses, and it used to cut through whatever you were wearing.
Yeah, it didn't matter what you're wearing.
And that was the context I put this tent into to go, okay, blankets really matter. So this question is built on how do we get blankets? You, unfortunately, as far as I know, can't send like drop off blankets. But what you can do is I would recommend, Monica, you contact the office and ask for Amber. And Amber will get you the QR code that Jamel had this weekend. And that is a direct way to you can give to, and he will let you know how many blankets and that it can purchase and all of that. He was really hopeful when he left that they would be able to do 10% of what they've committed to or what they're hoping to do. So he left very encouraged by the response of the church. But yeah, Monica, that would be the easiest way. And if you need help with that, just let us know.
Yeah. Steve, I got one more question for you before we wrap up here. In Cambodia right now, where are you seeing God move specifically, and how can we pray for you in that venture, and what it is you do? I know you got a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of things going, but specifically, where do you see God moving, and how can we support you and pray for you?
It has been incredible what God has done in Cambodia. Literally every corner of Cambodia is being transformed. Currently, there's a conflict between Thailand and Cambodia, an armed conflict on the over the border of Cambodia, and it's been very, very difficult. There are around 140,000 refugees, displaced people in Cambodia because of the fighting and potential fighting along the border. And so just pray that I don't really see a solution politically. And what we need is we need God Almighty to show up and to bring peace between the two countries. There's an incredible amount of animosity right now and hatred between the two countries. I'm very concerned on the Thailand side, but Thailand is a wealthier country. On the Cambodian side, thousands and thousands of these refugees are people that I work with. And they're homeless right now, many of them. They're living in little shelters, you know, in the rainy season where we're getting 5 inches of rain a day. We're not a cold country, so we're always hot there. But I just pray that God can bring true peace into the situation, that the issues that Thailand have with Cambodia and Cambodia has with Thailand will be truly resolved, and that peace can be restored, true peace, and that there can be friendship and love between people instead of animosity and hatred and violence and things like that.
Yeah.
Where will they? So that's a region you work with. Where will they go? Can they go?
We've offered right now. There's in some of the conflict zones. I've offered to take children because I have my own schools. I have my own children's home, which was designed for orphans. But we don't. We've got about 18 orphans, I think, that stay there. But we could host another 100 people. And so I want to get especially the children away from the conflict area. Yeah. They're not in school, so I can get them into school get their minds off of war and onto better things and give them. I'm just thinking about all the trauma that these kids are going to deal with probably the rest of their life. Yep. And I would just want to get them away from that.
Yeah. So, I loved your response when we were out at PV. And you said Jesus would take care of the children.
Yeah.
Like it was just so simple. Yeah. What would Jesus?
You don't need to pray about it.
Yeah,
you don't need to pray about it. Yeah.
Which was so beautiful and such a good reminder for me that it was simple.
Yeah,
the answer is yes.
Yeah,
and so.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could have the world's longest podcast episode with listening stories.
I could sit here all day.
I could still do it, but we do have to wrap up for the sake of time and all the people listening.
I told Cindy after the weekend, I'm like, I just want to go hang out with Steve.
I know.
Like, I got done with the weekend. I'm like, I want more. I want more. I just want to hang out.
So good. So good. This has been so good. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
For all of our viewers and listeners, if you've made it this far, you're part of the End of the Podcast Club. And you are extra special to us. So thank you guys so much for being with us this far. We would love to hear from you with a rating or review, 5-star review. If you have questions,
5-star gold. I mean, it got
gold, 5 stars, not on a piece of paper, but on the podcast store would be great. But if you do have any questions you'd like for us to answer, we can answer those unedited at heightschurch.com. That is the email address. You can send us those questions and we would love to answer those on air in future episodes.
Hit that like button,
smash it, as John would say. Final thought for you today is this: we all have opportunities to step into what God has for us, and it might be as little as just stopping in the parking lot somewhere, or it might be as big as moving to another country. But it starts by listening to God and being obedient to what he says. So I pray that that's what your week holds for you. We thank you guys for listening. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Love you.